if you want to be comfortable and you're happy with the life that you live now, don't change. Just do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But if you're not happy with the way situations and circumstances are today, the only thing that's going to make a difference is change. Mm-hmm. And you got to take massive action. That's the first step towards change. And you're not going to get it all right. You're not going to figure it all out. And the biggest thing that I've learned with business is that, especially when it comes to failure, is like I failed 1,000 times. But I'm not defined as a failure, because when I fail, I get right back up. I dust my shoulders off. I ask myself, okay, what did I learn from this? And I go right back at it. Mm-hmm. If you fail on Monday at 8 p.m. and you give up, then you're allowing failure to define you. But if you get back up and you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to keep going. Then failure is just an event. And the biggest thing I've learned in business is you only have to be right one time. Mm-hmm. You can fail 1,000 times. No one will ever remember it if you're right once. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of like starting your own business.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, what's up? In my latest episode, I talked to my friend Jeet Banerjee, who's a friend of mine, who's also from OC, and he's a serial entrepreneur. He first got started in entrepreneurship at the young age of 17 when he started his own web design company. And even though, you know, clients didn't take him seriously, Jeet didn't give up on himself or his vision of what he wanted to do with his life. And since then, he's been able to build multiple companies, sell multiple companies as well. And now he's continuing to build different businesses with other entrepreneurs. And basically, he shares his story in this interview of how he was able to overcome when people were telling him negative things, when people didn't believe in him, how he was able to believe in himself and not let that get to his head. And that's led him to now, at the young age of in his early 20s, he's built several companies, sold them, and now he's, you know, on his way to becoming a multimillionaire. And he's a really smart guy, and you know, I just want you guys to take what you can from this interview and to learn that, you know, if you believe in yourself, if you never give up, that there's always going to be a way. As long as you keep on staying true to yourself, staying true to your path, there's going to be doors that open up, and sooner or later you're going to find success. You know, it doesn't take, you know, many successes for you to be successful. It just takes one, and through all those failures you're going to learn through each and every failure, just like Jeet did. So I hope you guys are able to take some good nuggets away, and especially take action on everything that you hear. And also check out my free ebook. I share with you guys some of the ways I grew over hundreds of thousands of followers and over 50,000 followers on my own personal Instagram, ray.on. And you can also check out Jeet on Instagram, the Jeet Banerjee. Also, that's the same name for his website. And you can find out more about my ebook descriptions and also about Jeet in the podcast episode descriptions as well. So thanks guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoy this episode with Jeet and that you guys take massive action on everything that you take away from today.
Hey, Jeet, welcome to the interview. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. And I just want to give a quick background of who you are to my audience and those watching. And you're a very young entrepreneur, and you've mm-hmm. sold, you know, several companies already. And you're from Orange County, like myself. Mm-hmm. And we actually met a couple years ago through social media, and now we reconnected. And you have your own online academy as well, teaching people how to start a business from nothing. So I kind of want to give a kind of like what you do right now, and then just kind of your story of how you got into mm-hmm. all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently I run two businesses mainly. The first business is an online academy, kind of like how you mentioned. And pretty much over the years, I've created over 10 or more businesses, some of which have failed, some of which have succeeded. And I've just taken all the businesses that have succeeded for myself mm-hmm. and put it together in this online academy that people can join, sign up, and it takes them step by step through the processes of launching your own online business. So that's the first business that I launched about a month ago, and I'm very, very excited about it. It's a passion project for myself. Mm-hmm. And the second business that I have that I've had for about like a year and a half now is a supplements, vitamins and supplements company. We're fully online based, and so those are the two main companies that I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. And
I know we talked earlier, and your journey into like hustling and making money started at a young age, right? Like 15. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one morning when I was 15 years old, I got a knock on the door, and my dad woke me up bright and early in the morning, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, so for all the video games that you've been buying and all the movies that you go to and all that stuff, like I'm done paying for it. I'll give you like food, clothing, shelter, obviously all the basics, but for all the fun stuff, like you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And I was like a teenager, I love to have fun. So I was like, dang, that sucks. That means I gotta go get a job. So I went out and I got like a bunch of different jobs between the ages of like 15 to 17 while I was in high school, like just after school, random gigs from like tutoring to like teaching kids how to play basketball to like receptionist, door-to-door sales, telemarketing, like you name it, I did it. And what's crazy was I took like 12 jobs in 2 years and I got fired from every single one or I quit from every single job. Mm-hmm. And it was at this point that I realized, man, something's wrong with me. Like, why can't I keep a job for 10 to 12 hours? Like, mm-hmm. how am I gonna do this for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm. And then I know you, and then you told me you Googled, why am I not able to keep a job? And then Richard Branson showed up, right? Or a quote.
Yeah. So one day I was like super annoyed after I got fired from my last job. And I was like, dude, something's really wrong with me. Like, I got to Google this. Like, this isn't normal. So as I Google it, I come across like one of the first videos I came across was of like Richard Branson. And he's talking about how he felt like in his early days he was unemployable. And like that message really resonated with me because all the stuff that he kind of said, like I felt like that was exactly my feelings in that moment in time. And so from that period, I was like, man, like, and he suggested that people that feel this way need to like pursue their own careers, build their own businesses and be an entrepreneur. And so at 17, as a senior in high school, that was like my wake up call where I was like, man, I think that's my calling. I think that's what my destiny is.
And then you kind of said you were working as a receptionist at the web design company, mm-hmm. right? And then you... Can you expand on that?
Kind of? Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I was working at, one of the jobs that I held actually for the longest time was as like a receptionist at a web design agency. And pretty much like I learned a lot about the web design process and I learned that there was a lot of money to be made like 8 years ago for making websites. Like they would charge people $8,000 to $10,000 for a basic website. And sometimes like when their developers would be busy, they'd be like, hey kid, can you like make these quick changes on this WordPress site? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And then I'd see that they collect a check for like $10,000. And I'm like, man, there's so much money to be made. Mm-hmm. So when I got started as an entrepreneur, I was like, man, I'm gonna start my own web design business because this seems so lucrative. There's so much cash to be made. So what I ended up doing was I launched my own web design business. Didn't have an LLC or an entity, no website, nothing like that. I just kind of reached out to a couple of developers overseas that were like doing the same work for a couple $100. And I was like, hey, like, do you want to partner up with me? Like, I want to start a web design company. So I really just got on the phone the day I launched my business, had nothing solidified. And I just started calling people and was like, hey, like, your website needs a lot of work. I'm happy to update it and make it better for you. Here's what I can do for you. And I called maybe like 50 to 100 businesses over a week. Mm-hmm. And two of them actually responded to me and were interested in working with me. And boom, that was like the start of my first idea.
Yeah. And so was like the whole motivation, because at first it was just to like make money to have fun and, you know, buy games and stuff. But like, did that change over time or like that drive and motivation and what kept you going, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started my first company, like for me in life, it's always been like, I've always had that mindset early on in my childhood that like, what's the easiest way I can get something done? So I've always been like super lazy as like a kid. So I'd always find the fastest shortcut, like whether it's in school or starting my business, whatever it was. So when I needed some extra pocket cash, it was just like, man, what's the easiest way to do this where I'm not like tired and frustrated? Mm-hmm. So So my initial motivation was just money to buy stuff and just to have a little bit of freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for about like the first 2 years. That was my mindset. I still was going to college and studying and still not like considering this as like a full-time thing. It was like kind of like a shortcut for the short time.
Yeah.
And then when I was like 19, it finally hit me that like I was only doing this for the money, but like to me it meant a lot more and I felt like I had like a calling to change the world and do more. And so that's when I put my business up for sale at 19. I found someone to buy my company and then I was able to kind of move into my next project, which was like a passion project, something that I felt like could make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that was called StatFuse, which basically helped high school students get into college through software. Basically calculating their odds of admission into schools and analyzing their college applications to tell them how they can utilize their strengths, weaknesses to better get into universities.
And did you code all that or did you found developers to help you in doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So through my web design business, I made a lot of connections with developers. So my partner and I at the time, we actually built out the entire algorithm for calculating the students' chances. Mm-hmm. And we basically handed it off to developers. We gave them equity in our business and they kind of coded the whole thing and put it together.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then it's pretty accurate, huh? Like how likely they are to get in based on
the program?
Yeah, yeah. So it was very accurate. Like, we ran thousands of tests with students that had already gotten accepted into universities to backtrack and, like, verify our data. But, yeah, unless, like, it was, like, an outlier student, like a student that, like, you know, came up with a cure for cancer, like, won a Nobel Peace Prize, like, really outlier factors. Yeah. Other than that, it was very, very accurate taking the metrics, yeah.
That's crazy. So you basically figured out the whole, like, all the school system's measurements of acceptance, and then you kind of told people, like, you could go through this and then see if you're going to get accepted.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's crazy. Well, and then from there, did you sell that and then move on, or?
Yeah, yeah, so we worked on that company for about 4 years, and we grew that to about, like, almost, like, 250,000 users. Mm. And after we grew it to that point, we actually got acquired by a company called LendEDU in 2016. And so I ended up selling that company, and then, yeah.
And did you, like, learn all these things on your own, or did you have people teach you? Like, how did you, you know, develop all these things?
Yeah, so it was, like, a combination of a lot of things. Like, the one thing I love to tell people is that when I started, and even now, like, I was nothing special, and I'm nothing special. Like, when I started, I had no money, I had no experience, and I really didn't have even a degree. Like, I was still in high school at the time. So for me, it's just been, like, self-education's been huge. Like, I've always been a doer. So I go do something, I hit a wall, I fail. And then I'm like, man, I really need to learn. Like, one of the biggest lessons I had early on was, like, how to deal with accounting. Mm-hmm. And no idea about it. Hit a wall, I failed, and I learned, like, accounting is huge, I need to learn it. So I just took some, like, online courses, watched some videos, and taught myself how to, like, do accounting for my business, like, the basic bare minimums. And then for other stuff, like stuff that maybe wasn't so easily accessible online, it was just about, like, networking with people, putting myself in the door, cold emailing, cold calling people, finding mentors, just pretty much anything I needed to get the problem at hand solved.
Yeah, so just a lot of hustling and taking action.
Yeah, pretty much all hustle, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, that drive, you know, kind of, basically you said you had nothing, but what kept you going was that drive, and you just didn't give up. So, like, where do you think, like, people are born with that drive, or you develop it, like, in your experience?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. I think, like, some people are kind of like, because I was always born with the competitive mindset.
Yeah.
So, like, being a kid, it kind of sucked because, like, if I lost, I would, like, throw a tantrum and I'd be really upset.
Yeah.
And so as I got older, though, the competitive aspect of me, like, really helped me a lot, because when I failed or when I struggled, my option wasn't to give up.
Yeah.
It was like, man, I have to figure a way out of this. So I think it's something that definitely can be taught, but a lot of people also kind of grow up with this, like, mentality, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a big example I like to use is, like, Kobe Bryant, for example, right? Like, he's, like, a big inspiration to me, and he's, like, one of the biggest, like, competitors that you'll ever see. And for someone to have that competitive spirit, I don't think it's developed overnight. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that they're born with, and as they get older and older, it, like, hits new levels of progressions. Okay. But, yeah, so I think a lot of it can be taught,
yeah.
And some of it does come from just, like, DNA.
Yeah, and I think kind of when you have your back against the wall, like, for you at 15, you know, not being able to do fun things and, you know, hang out with your friends because of money, that kind of put your back against the wall at an early age, and you kind of had to figure out how to get out of that, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then after then, like, were there anything else that were huge, like, obstacles where your back was against the wall, you had to figure it out?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, when I first started my business, like, one of the biggest things I struggled with was, like, I was really young. I was 17 years old, and, like, not a lot of people want to work with a 17-year-old kid, and yeah. I had, like, a baby face. I looked like I was 13. So, like, nobody really wants to work with a kid in high school that has no experience, right? So, like, my youth was, like, a big challenge because, like, people wouldn't even, like, talk to me on the phone because they're like, this guy just sounds like a little kid on the phone, you know?
He has homework to do.
Yeah, so, like, for me, it was just, like, that was, like, if I had two options at that point. I could have just given up and listened to all the critics and all the people that told me, like, hey, you're too young, graduate college, then pursue this. Or my second thing was, like, do it anyways. And, like, what I saw was, like, a big liability for me. Mm-hmm. I just turned it into an asset. Like, I started owning the fact that I was young rather than hiding from it. Because, like, I would talk on the phone and people would be, like, initially people would be, like, oh, like, how old are you? Blah, blah. I'd be, like, oh, I'm 28, trying to make, like, a deep voice.
Yeah.
And then, like, people weren't buying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people weren't buying it. And then eventually I was just, like, man, like, forget this, you know? Like, I'm just going to own the fact that I'm young. So I tell businesses, yeah, I'm 17, but here's why I'm better than all my competitors. None of my competitors, like, grew up with the internet and social media. Like, true. That's in my DNA. Like, I grew up every day doing this while other people had to learn it. This is an acquired skill for me. Yeah. And I bring, like, a new perspective on things. So I just kind of, like, shaped my perception of things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it changed it a lot. And, like, that's the biggest thing that I tell other people, too, is that, like, something that you see as a negative isn't necessarily a negative if you just package it the right way.
Mm. Yeah, and I think I kind of want to talk about, like, your confidence, because a lot of kids at, you know, 17, they probably wouldn't be confident to go and, you know, talk to a businessman who's making money and, you know, say you have something of value to offer. So where did that, like, self-confidence and, like self-esteem come from that you don't even, you don't care, you know, how young you are, you just do it.
Yeah, so for me, it's always like kind of come from like different sports, because I've always been a big sports fan, like to the point where I like, I watch every interview after the game and like keep up with every stat and stuff like that. And like, I remember there was like this one time, like Kobe shot like maybe like 3 for 30 or something like that from the field. And then they asked Kobe, like, man, this was one of your worst games. It's like in the playoffs. They're like, this is one of your worst games. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do differently next game? And he's like, absolutely nothing. I'm still going to shoot the ball. Mm. And like, that's like the confidence, like that kind of stuff gave me confidence. Yeah. Where it's like, I don't care if I get rejected 100 times, I'm down to get rejected another 100 times, but I'm not going to stop doing what I have to do. And I think for me, it's just been like always being like very strong willed in terms of like a lot of people, they hear the word no once and it really brings them down.
Yeah.
But that's been like the one thing for me where it's like, no never bothered me. Mm. No was just like, okay, let me find another way to get what I want. Like whether it's like trying to get the latest video game for my parents when I'm a kid and they say no, then it's like, all right, let me find route number two. Or even just growing up, like this guy said no, okay, no problem. There's how many other people that I can call and try to get that yes. So yeah.
Kind of like asking girls out, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
No matter how many times you get rejected, you just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot your shot, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of want to talk about, you know, I was listening to Tony Robbins and, you know, he was talking about like a lot of people have the capability to do something, to create a business, to like do something big, but it's just their lack of confidence that like stops them from it. You know, there's people who are like less qualified than, you know, a lot of the people who are very successful, you know, like there's less qualified people doing what you want to do because they chose to just do it, you know, and just put themselves out there. So like, yeah, I mean, from there, like what, so you built that business and then now what are you working on?
Yeah, so now I'm basically working on like two main businesses. Like along the way of like building all these companies, like I've tried like multiple different businesses. Like for example, my first company, StatFuse, it wasn't revenue generating. So for me to be able to support myself, I started like a bunch of different like small businesses, you know, like Amazon physical products business, drop shipping, ebook companies, mobile applications, all this stuff is just like kind of like passive income projects and side projects. But yeah, now the two main projects I'm working on is that online academy that we kind of discussed earlier. Yeah. And then the second one being the health and supplements company. And that one is like, we're basically trying to bring like ancient remedies back to the modern world.
Okay.
So it's not like fitness and like gym supplements, you know, like not focused around that. It's more like, you know, someone that's got indigestion, they take a ton of Tums and medication, pharmaceutical medications to solve that. But taking those medications over time for a period of years really does a lot of damage to your like liver and kidneys and stuff like that, has long-term effects. So what we do is we just take like ingredients that come from nature, chemicalize and formulize them into like a capsule or a gummy bear or whatever it is, and just offer that, like for example, dandelion root, like, you know, those little flowers that people like blow on to make a wish. That's like great for indigestion. So like that's like a supplement that we offer. And yeah, so that's like pretty much what we do with the health and supplements company. Yeah.
Okay. Do you still do like Amazon and dropshipping stuff too, or?
Yeah. So I still have all those businesses that are just kind of like passive income side businesses that just operate on their own. I've got like a team that manages them and all that stuff. So my involvement is very minimal, but they're still kind of making me cash on the side today. Yeah.
Okay. And how old are you right now?
Right now I'm 25.
25. Yeah. I'm 25 too. So it's just like, it's like part of the reason why I do podcasts is like you hear like these really young, you know, people and just like doing big things and you're like, you know, there's so much more you could be doing like with your life, you know, no matter like if you're 17 or 15 or even 40, you know, there's so much more you could do. So have there been any like huge lessons on your journey as an entrepreneur that really just kind of you've held on to and have been important to you? Like,
yeah, definitely. I could probably share like two really good lessons. One of the lessons that I learned kind of early on was the power of saying no. So especially when I had many businesses and I'm like going to school and doing all these things, time was something that like was very limited, right? So I got to make the most of the time that I do have to work on my businesses. So oftentimes early on, people would ask me like, hey, can you do this for me? Can you help me with that? Whatever it was. And oftentimes I always wanted to say yes. And then I started burning out and tiring out and like my businesses were going nowhere. And then now my rule nowadays is that like, it's okay to say no. Like people aren't going to take offense as long as you're polite about it. And I only say yes to the things that directly align with like my visions and goals. So I set up what are my visions and goals are. And I ask myself, if I do this right now, is this going to somehow benefit my end goal or my vision? If the answer is yes, then I say yes. If it's no, then I say, sorry, I can't do this. I apologize very politely, but this is something that's not going to work out for me. So learning to say no has been big for me.
So what's your vision and your goal, like, currently? That mm-hmm. Like, do you have a vision board or like a whiteboard or
no?
And yeah, how do you go?
Yeah, so pretty much I have like a whiteboard. My big goal in the next 5 years is to be financially free. Mm-hmm. And then once I kind of achieve that financial freedom by 30, hopefully, my next goal is I really want to change like the educational system. And I'm really passionate and focused on like being able to get people at a younger age to find out what it is that they really want to do in life and put them in a position to do that at a younger age, rather than people finding out what their passions or their dreams are when it's too late, like 30, 40, 50, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And like they're in a tougher situation to be able to make that change.
So do you plan on doing that through your online academy and mm-hmm. how to set up your business based on your passion and stuff?
Yeah, I think that's like the first stepping stone towards it. Okay. Ideally though, my big goal would be to like almost like create like whether it's like a university or like an institution, like kind of like a schooling mm-hmm. that like people can put in like after like eighth grade, rather than going to like a traditional high school, like creating like this school that students can go to physically and attend with like teachers that are like actual doers, entrepreneurs, people that have like influencers that have done stuff. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, and I know we talked about events too, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully events and stuff like that. Okay. And then what's your second lesson?
So the second lesson that I learned was never get too cocky, kind of like humble yourself along the way. Because when I first launched a couple businesses, they were successful. I was like, oh man, I'm killing it. This is great. And I always kind of had a process. Like I always followed like the lean startup process for building a business with like a minimum viable product and all this stuff. And that's a great book by Eric Ries, Lean Startup, which teaches you how to really build a business successfully. And so when I was like maybe 22 or so, I had this great idea for like a music company, mm-hmm. Like an application or software that would help like artists get discovered. And at this point, I was kind of like riding a high because I had all these little successes where I was like, you know what? I don't have to follow the pattern anymore. Like, or the formula anymore. Any business that I create is always going to be successful. All my ideas have been gold. So I just kind of ran with it. And the issue was that for one, I had no experience in the music industry, like at all. Mm-hmm. And for two, I just shortcutted the entire process. And I ended up losing about like $50,000, lost about like 6 to 12 months of my time. So it was definitely like a big learning lesson in terms of the fact that like no matter how much success you have, your next success is never guaranteed.
Okay. And then that keeps you focused, mm-hmm. right, throughout the whole process?
Yeah, focused and definitely humbled.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And so like kind of for you, it's just like you've been self-taught, I would say, mm-hmm. you know, from 15 and just hustling and learning as you go along, you know. Are there any like books or, you know, people you follow that have helped you on your journey to?
Yeah, definitely. One of the first books that I read that's one of my favorites is Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco. Mm-hmm. And that book basically like really validates like the route of becoming an entrepreneur, because it talks a lot about like the statistics and the facts behind being an entrepreneur versus going the 9-to-5 job route. So that was one book that definitely helped me a lot. In terms of like a mentor, one of the best mentors that kind of helped me out a lot, especially with like digital marketing stuff, was a guy named Neil Patel. And he's a very successful entrepreneur, doing a lot. And he helped me quite a bit early on with like mentoring and networking and stuff like that.
And you just like reached out to him and emailed him? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I just reached out to him and I emailed him, because it's crazy because he kind of had like a similar pattern of story as me. Like he went to high school in Orange County, then went to Cal State Fullerton as a business marketing major, and then dropped out. So what I did when I was like 17 years old is I just emailed him and I was like, hey, I'm going to Cal State Fullerton. I live in Orange County, like, and I'm trying to do what you're doing. Like, can you help me out? And like, he really related to it, and he like messaged me back. Yeah.
So and then he kind of like took you under his wing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would say like it wasn't like very like, I wouldn't say it was super hands on. It was like kind of like a relationship where he was like, you got a question, just email me. Like it wasn't like we kind of met up constantly and stuff like that. Because at that point he was in Seattle. Yeah, exactly. He's like, if you cannot figure it out yourself, then I'll guide you. Okay. Yeah, but he's like, don't bother me 24/7 type of thing. Yeah.
And that's, did you ever think he would reply or?
No, like honestly, like I never imagined him to reply. Like if I'm being honest, I probably shot out like that same email to like 50 different people that I thought would be like cool to have as like a mentor to help me out. Yeah. And it was just that whole like shoot your shot. And then like he responded and I was like, oh man, that's awesome. Cause like I never knew like people like that would even respond.
Yeah. And that's the thing I want to know too. Cause you know, working in like the influencer space on Instagram and stuff, like even with my interviews, like you never know who's going to be open unless you ask. And I think the great thing that you started so young is when you're young, you don't really think about, you know, image and what people think. It's just like you just try everything because you're curious and you just want to get out there. But I feel like the older you get, you feel like, oh, I'm too old for it, or I don't want to look bad, or, you know, even if it's like asking someone younger for advice, it's like, you got to let go of that image and just put yourself out there to really learn from other people, you know?
Yeah, 100%, I agree.
Yeah, and, yeah, so, and I know you said you felt like you were meant to do something, like, big with your life, you know? Mm-hmm. Did you have that when you were younger, or kind of where did that come from, or was that when you got fired from all the jobs and you were like, man, I guess I should do something else with my life, you know?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit later than that. It was when I was running my web design company, like towards the final year.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of doing like this like thing, and the biggest thing that I realized was like, man, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of different companies doing exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, the money's great, but like I still wasn't like fully happy. Like I was satisfied, right? But I wasn't fully fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like this is great, but like if I leave tomorrow and I stop doing this, the world's gonna go on. Like people are still gonna get their websites made. And that's when it really hit me. It was like, I wanna do something that like nobody else is doing, like solve a really, really solid problem or create like a really big value for people. And that's when like the deeper purpose really kicked in for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I relate to that, because I feel like there's a reason why like each of us are here. And you know, even doing podcasting, it wasn't because I always thought I'd be a podcaster. It was just like, I felt like I was meant to do something more. And you have that same feeling. And it's like, and I, maybe, you know, some of the people listening too, you just feel like there's something more you want to do with your life. Your life isn't meant to just pay bills and die, you know? And I think there is a reason, right? There is a reason why we're still here, and something that we could contribute to the world that can like make it better. And for you, it's for, you know, helping businesses get started from nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And then like making a passion into a business, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then just on the topic that you mentioned, like one of my favorite things to tell people is that like the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why.
Yeah.
And I think like that's super powerful for people to think about.
Yeah. So what day would you say is the day like you found out why? Or I think it's a process, honestly, but like for you, like mm-hmm. do you have a day where you're like, this is why, you know?
Yeah, I think it was probably like when I closed my first web design client.
Mm.
And like, even though I didn't know it at that exact moment, like this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. Just the fact of like when people ask me like, what's the most successful moment I feel like, or what's the best moment? I always tell them that one. The fact that I could close one deal, the first deal at 17 years old, that meant more to me than anything else, than giving a TEDx talk, selling companies, any of that stuff.
Wow.
And because that set the footprints for me to like begin my journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like, because I never saw that one website, I may never go this route. I may never get as deep into this journey as I am. I may be like in a cubicle somewhere rotting away, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was like my day where I found out why.
Yeah, and Tony Robbins also said, he was like, you know, once you start making those, so getting out of those negative patterns of thought and, you know, thinking you can't do it, and you start doing things and you start making things happen, it like puts you in like a different like state of mind, you know? And then you have one accomplishment that leads to another one and another one, and so it keeps like stacking up, and your confidence grows up too, you know? So I mean, is there like, you know, a piece of advice you'd give to anyone who's like an aspiring entrepreneur, or someone who maybe just trying to learn what to do, you know, or trying to figure things out, like when you were younger?
Yeah, absolutely. My best piece of advice for anybody is to take massive action, right? And like, there's never going to be a perfect time. There's never going to be a perfect situation, and excuses, you can write a book of excuses. Mm-hmm. But what I love to tell people is that change and comfort don't go together. If you want to be comfortable and you're happy with the life that you live now, don't change, just do what you're doing. But if you're not happy with the way situations or circumstances are today, the only thing that's gonna make a difference is change. And you gotta take massive action. That's the first step towards change. And you're not gonna get it all right. You're not gonna figure it all out. And the biggest thing that I've learned with business is that, especially when it comes to failure, is like, I failed 1,000 times, but I'm not defined as a failure, because when I fail, I get right back up. I dust my shoulders off. I ask myself, okay, what did I learn from this? And I go right back at it. Mm. If you fail on Monday at 8 p.m. and you give up, then you're allowing failure to define you. But if you get back up and you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to keep going. Then failure is just an event. And the biggest thing I've learned in business is you only have to be right one time.
Mm.
You can fail 1,000 times. No one will ever remember it if you're right once.
Mm.
And that's the beauty of like starting your own business.
Yeah, for sure. It's like Thomas Edison, right? He failed like, how many times? Like tens of thousands of times for the light bulb. But I think like what you said, did you always have a vision when you were younger, or kind of just kind of came as you
No, I think it definitely came. Like when I was younger, like I had like the sparks of like kind of like innovation. Yeah. But like at the time, I didn't know what it meant. Like at 8 years old, I created a website one summer about like basketball because I was bored.
Yeah.
And then at like 13, like I was playing like this video game, and like this video game would sell currency, and like I started like my own website to like sell the currency for cheaper than the website. Wow. And like I got people to join in on it, and like I got a cease and desist at like 13 from the company. So like all these little things that happened, you know. Yeah. That like I didn't realize it at the time. But yeah, so I guess like I've kind of had that entrepreneurial mindset in me, but I never realized it until I was older. Because when I was a kid, I just wanted to be an NBA player. Mm. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's crazy how life takes you and like kind of takes you on a different path, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where you are. And yeah, so where can people find you and yeah, get in touch with you or follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. The best spot to get in touch with me is my personal website, which is jeetbanerjee.com, spelled JeetBanerjee.com. Has my blog, my projects, my social media, my emails, all that good stuff, so people can reach out there.
Okay, for sure. And you know, before we wrap up, I always ask this last question, and it's if you could go back in time to your younger self and, you know, speak to your younger self as like an angel or a mentor or someone, just kind of looking back. And I know you probably wouldn't want to, you know, change how you are today, but like if there's something you could say to your younger self when you're in like a really hard spot, what would you say to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely tell myself that there's like no matter what happens, it's going to get better. Like I think when you're like young, and especially when I was younger and stuff like that, like going through rough patches and rough times, sometimes you think it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But like looking back, I would tell myself that this may be a really bad day or a really tough situation, but when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be slightly better than the night before. And I think like that's like the biggest thing that like a lot of people I think should realize is that your roughest day is the roughest day ever, and the next day is going to be less rough than the day before. And if you kind of keep that perception and that mindset, whether starting a business or just doing anything in life, it's really going to help you, because people love to kind of allow negativity to like overwhelm them and overcome their thoughts.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is just no matter how negative the situation, always be positive and always be optimistic about things.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks,
yeah, Jeet, for absolutely. Pleasure.
Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Jeet and that you took some nuggets away. You know, that the importance of persisting and never giving up, even when people might think you're foolish or you're too young or you're too inexperienced. The thing is, if you keep on going, keep on trying, you're gonna find a way, especially if you don't give up on yourself. So yeah, I hope you guys took some good things away from this, and please leave a review of this podcast on iTunes if this has helped you in any way. And also remember to check out my free ebook on growing your Instagram, how I grew over 600,000 followers and over 50,000 followers on my own from zero, as well as some of the ways I've been able to network with some of the biggest names in social media and entrepreneurship. I'm also going to be offering coaching, so sign up for my emails and I'll send you more information about that. You can also keep in touch with me on Instagram as ray.on.ahn. So thanks guys for listening. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you.